And by now, you've probably heard of Ozempic.
People with type 2 diabetes are excited about the potential of once-weekly Ozempic.
There's the ad. The drug was developed to treat type 2 diabetes, but it soon became clear that it wasn't only lowering blood sugar, it was helping some patients lose weight so effectively that people using it for weight loss created a shortage for diabetes patients. Other drugs in the same class, GLP-1 analogs, one called Mounjaro, are showing similar weight loss results. But now, some patients are reporting another side effect. They say it's lessening addictions and compulsions, from alcohol to cigarettes, shopping, even nail biting. Sarah Zhang is a health and science writer at The Atlantic. Her fascinating report is titled, "Did Scientists Accidentally Invent an Anti-Addiction Drug?" And Sarah, we should start with a caution. Talk to your doctor. This is early days in this thinking, but may they have accidentally invented an anti-addiction drug?
That's right. This is absolutely early days, but there's some really interesting anecdotes about people who just take the drug and say, hey, like the desire to drink, to smoke, to shop, to bite my nails, it's just totally gone away. And so on one hand, this is just anecdotes, but there's also actually a really like large body of research going back several years now, not in humans, but in animals, where addiction researchers have actually been studying what Ozempic can do to mice, to rats, to monkeys. And they're finding that if you give them these drugs, they drink less alcohol, they do less cocaine. Lab animal research and anecdotes really do sort of suggest maybe there's something going on.
We'll talk about how Ozempic, the scientific name is semaglutide. How does it work in the brain to, for instance, help the working pancreas? And these are in type 2 diabetics who have a working pancreas but not enough insulin. Start there. How is it helping?
What we knew is that it affects the pancreas and basically tells the pancreas to secrete more insulin. As scientists have done more research on this, they found like it's not just affecting the pancreas, and also it's not just affecting the gut, but actually it affects the brain directly. There are actually receptors in the brain that Ozempic can directly bind to. And we know now that this drug can actually cross a blood-brain barrier and go directly into the brain. Now, what exactly is it doing into the brain? The short answer is we don't really know. The long answer is that we think it probably affects the reward circuit in the brain. So we've probably heard of the neurotransmitter dopamine, sometimes called a pleasure chemical. And what it seems to do is that maybe it makes the addictive behavior that you're doing, whether it's drinking alcohol, maybe it was a compulsive behavior, nail biting, it makes it just like a little bit less pleasurable, less satisfying to do.
Well, you know, this kind of talk is the kind of thing that enrages many people who are in alcohol studies, who are in 12-step groups, for instance, where they kind of reject the notion that you'd replace one thing, you know, alcohol with another, a pill, to change behavior that may be ingrained in a psychological way. So talk more about what scientists are saying about that. Are you hearing from researchers who say, yeah, it could possibly be that simple?
Nothing is really that simple, but I think that what you're asking is, you know, is addiction, is it not just a psychological phenomenon? Is it actually like a neurobiological phenomenon? And when you talk to addiction researchers, a lot of them will say, yes, addiction can be a problem of biology. You might be predisposed to end up abusing alcohol or abusing drugs. So I think some of the addiction researchers who I talked to were actually really hopeful that if we could have more anti-addiction drugs, that would kind of make really clear that this isn't just, you know, a problem of willpower. The reason I say it's not that simple is that, you know, addiction might not be the same thing for everyone. For some people, it might be, for example, a biological predisposition. For other people, maybe you're using alcohol to deal with, for example, social anxiety and you're self-medicating with drugs. In that case, like, you know, maybe you can think about other ways of dealing with addiction. Mm-hmm. But this drug, if it works, could be really powerful for a certain group of people.
Well, if I'm hearing you correctly, and I just want to make sure I am, there are people who have long thought that addiction is something that's biological or neurological. It is a disease. But on the other hand, you're saying addiction can also be a way of masking pain about something else. It can be something that's not neurological or biological.
Yeah, that's right. Addiction isn't one thing. And it may be the case that this drug might work really well for a certain group of people, but not for another group of people.
Well, and so where are we in this? Because you spoke to patients and researchers who found this accidentally. They were on this drug for weight loss treatment or for diabetes type 2 treatment. So when will people be able to get it for treatment of an addiction?
So there are clinical trials right now going on, seeing if this is a drug that can be used to help people who are struggling with alcohol addiction or smoking, if it can help people quit. These initial trials are still pretty small, so getting to a point where they might actually be approved is probably going to take several years. But one of the reasons addiction researchers are really excited about Ozempic is that this is a drug that's already on the market. We already know it's fairly safe. It's been used by lots and lots of people for, and especially for people with diabetes, for many years now. So it's just going to be a lot easier to get that drug to people who might need it for addiction than, you know, taking, for example, a new chemical that we don't know anything about the safety profile for.
Yeah, we don't know what the side effects might be. And at least one with some of the people who were using it for weight loss, and they were getting what was called Ozempic face. I mean, you know, their face had kind of cratered. What's the sense of how much doctor involvement there needs to be when somebody's on this drug for something other than the type 2 diabetes treatment?
For any reason, take this drug, you should probably be talking with your doctor. And, you know, one of the things that's going on right now is that people are using it off-label. They're getting on the internet, maybe not really talking to a doctor about using it. This is a drug that, at least for weight loss, at least for diabetes, and possibly for addiction as well, if we ever get there, that probably needs to be used, you know, lifelong. It's not something you take for a few months or a few years and then kind of get off of it. So we really don't know what the long-term effects are when we're talking about decades, right? We know the effects after months or years. What we don't know about the effects if you take this for 30 years or for the rest of your life. And of course, you know, there's always the actual side effects that come with taking the drug. You know, the short-term side effects, you might have heard, they can be quite brutal, like really terrible nausea, constipation, vomiting. The long-term, we don't know yet.
Right. It's for the rest of your life, because people are reporting in your writing that when they stop taking it, their addictive behaviors, their cravings for food, for alcohol come back.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And a couple other things. It's something that's happening in the brain, and it's stopping cravings. Is there any research showing or any concern that it could stop the desire entirely?
Yeah, that was my question going into this as well, right? Like, does it just make you not want to do anything? And from the people I talked to, that was actually really not the case. They really say that they felt like it's really curbed their behaviors. I had gotten to a point of being so addictive or so compulsive that it was unhealthy. Like, they were thinking about food all the time, like waking up in the morning, thinking about what they're going to eat for lunch, what they're going to eat for dinner.
Or getting up overnight and standing in front of the refrigerator.
Exactly. And so what the drug is, it's curbing those behaviors that really become unhealthy. There's just so much more peace in their minds, and they can actually focus more on the things they're actually doing.
Well, and those are addictions. Talk about compulsions. The compulsions are things like the skin picking. Talk about how it affected those people that you met.
Yeah, this is really interesting, because this compulsive behavior stuff is actually something we haven't seen before, and like patients are kind of really just bringing to the attention of researchers. So as you were saying, I talked to patients who were biting their nails, who told me for the first time in their lives since they started taking Ozempic, they've had long nails. Another patient told me she just woke up in, one morning and realized that her back had been totally healed. She had had this compulsion to pick on the skin of her back to the point where she would bleed in her sheets, and she wouldn't even wear the color white because she was afraid she'd bleed through her shirts. And her back had totally healed. So, you know, it had been a while since she stopped picking, like at least several weeks. And she hadn't noticed until one day. She was just like, I really had stopped doing this. You know, something she had kind of done unconsciously.
Can you get in on a trial? Can anyone get in? Or are they closed? I'm serious. Can people get in?
You know, I was talking to one researcher who's running one of these trials, and he was like, yeah, we're still recruiting. And I just remember thinking, like, it must be really easy to recruit for this trial if you just tell people that's Ozempic.
We're chuckling, but man, alcoholism is a horrendous disease. And, you know, I can't imagine, you know, they're not going to be swamped with people who want it who are desperate for it to become more widely used. Have you been hearing from people?
Yeah, I am hearing people who are really interested in the possibilities of this drug. And what's really interesting about Ozempic is if you look at a lot of the other anti-addiction drugs out there, they tend to be fairly specific to the particular addiction. So far from the studies we're looking at, it seems to just kind of curb your cravings or your impulses in general. So it maybe have this like more kind of widespread effect that's not particular to any one type of addiction. So that's obviously really exciting that it might be able to treat like, you know, more than one type.
Yeah. Sarah Zhang, health and science writer, will link you to her article in the Atlantic Monthly. It is fascinating. Did scientists accidentally invent an anti-addiction drug? And we have to say, as we have been saying, talk to your doctor, talk to your doctor, talk to your doctor. Don't do this alone. Sarah, thank you so much. Keep us posted.
Oh, I will. Thanks so much for having me.